The nation is about to mark the anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy in 1944. Delmarva Public Radio SS George Merrill remembers those heady days when he was a child, but there was also realization about the costs of war.
Soon we will mark the 74th anniversary of the Allied landing in Normandy. For me, this was once before a time. I recently discovered an old book published in 1942. The book presented a compilation of New Yorker war cartoons. I was 11 in 1942 when my father left with the army to fight in the European theater. To me, the war was a lark, a thrilling adventure in which I imagined the invincibility of my father defeating America's enemies. Shortly after my father left for Europe, my mother and I wallpapered my room. The paper was a war mural with ships, tanks, and planes engaged in the business of war, stirring images. Curiously, there were no soldiers pictured, but only the industrial material of war performing its killing tasks. Lots of iron, but no blood. America was righteous and ready then. Among the cartoons, we see a roller coaster half completed for the duration. The cartoon suggested that life was on hold and this war was our war, America's war. The sense of ownership and common cause was palpable. The draft was mandatory. Young men eager to fight lied about their age in order to enlist, not as it was during the war in Vietnam, when men schemed to avoid being drafted. The cartoon images reflected the sense of high adventure and solidarity. Patriotism was heartfelt. The cartoons pointed to another phenomenon. The war effort demanded sacrifice from civilian populations. Today, wars don't, at least in America. Today, Americans have it both ways, guns and butter. A shopkeeper in one cartoon urges a little girl, "Better stock up on jelly beans." Mutual sacrifice was shared. I remember bubblegum was not available from 42 until 45. There was limited availability of cooking oil, sugar, butter, gasoline, meat, candy, and chocolate. Although hardly draconian restrictions, they forced unwelcome changes to our lifestyles. In one cartoon, we see a man skulking furtively, holding auto tires. He's just swiped them from another car. Returning to his own car, he sees his tires have been stolen. Randy young sailors and soldiers are pictured lamenting the unavailability of women. Whitney Darrow sketches a scene in which we see a room full of middle-aged club women assembled, wearing flower dresses, hats, and gloves. All are seated. Two stand at the rostrum, while one introduces the other. Miss Whitehead is here to tell us how we can amuse sailors. As more American soldiers arrived in England to fight, the Brits had mixed feelings about our presence, expressed in the popular quip, "Oversexed, overpaid, and over here." Americans quickly countered the Brits, "underpaid, undersexed, and under Eisenhower." Women's roles were changing. Two little girls are standing by a car being repaired. They watch as a woman lying on a dolly works under it. One child says to the other, "When you grow up, do you want to be a grease monkey like your mom?" Writer Frederick Buechner once coined a phrase, "once before a time." It's a way to measure our lives prior to some significant event changing it. Once before a time, I remember war as a glorious adventure. Once upon a time, my father returned from the war in 1945, a broken man. Then, once after a time, I began understanding the horrors of war. George Merrill on the shore.